Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the latest edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name's Lauren Wood. I'm joined by Scott Gullen, Michael Warner, and Ando, as I am each and every week from our respective hubs. And Scotty, I had spoken in previous weeks about the hopes for an in-person podcast, but they might be Buckley's at this point, you would imagine.
I think we're in trouble, Loz. I'm worried about the start of next year, the way it's going. Yeah, no, it's. I think we'll be zooming it in for a fair while, like everyone else.
Yes, we will. Talk about in trouble, Ando. I don't know if your phone blew up as much as mine did over the last couple of nights. I didn't realise I had so many Melbourne supporters and Essendon fans amongst my friendship group. But, geez, the jungle drums are beating amongst the faithful, aren't they? They're getting restless.
Yeah, it's a matter of which club's been the worst, I guess, lost. Like, I think I look at Essendon and say they've come back from all the dramas they've had, so they get an excuse for that. They've got a new coach taking over. Simon Goodwin's been there, what now, 17, 18, 19, fourth year at Melbourne?
Yeah,
Paul Bruce finished in 2016. So, and right at the moment, they don't stand for too much, the Demons, unfortunately. They picked the wrong side, and sometimes you've got to speak to the weather people, and they picked the side for speed because they looked pretty slow the week before, and then they cop a night where it rains all night and you need big bodies, and Freo were better served in that area. But having said that, you know, Caleb Sarong is a first-year player and he managed to deal with the conditions and show why he's a warm favourite to win the race.
Because you love him, don't you? Have you got a wager on him or something?
You're trying to influence him. Of course I have. What do you think I'm talking about him all the time for?
He is the number one ticket holder in the Caleb Sarong for Rising Star fan club. I think he wears his badge down the shops just like his mask, Ando, on that one. He's keeping a very close eye there.
It reminds me of Robbo back in the North Brunswick days, actually, Caleb Sarong.
In what way might that be, Michael?
Well, the suggestion was that Robbo used to get around in a sarong when he was coaching. Was
it yes, very good.
Was it North Brunswick?
I believe that was one of his. No, North Old Boys.
Yeah. Apparently, he's a pretty good coach too, the chief.
But reserves coach of the best.
Essendon and Melbourne remind me of when you're driving down to Lawn or Sorrento for your week, your summer holidays, and you see that big fire warning sign, and it's, you know, low, medium,
extreme,
and then it's extreme. And Essendon and Melbourne are right up on extreme, little arrows bouncing off the extreme part. They're both in official crisis, aren't they?
Well, you would
Goodwin's
think...
comments. Explain them to me. Oh, we have to. Isn't it his job to make them ruthless? Like all this rhetoric he says, it's your job, mate, to make them ruthless, isn't it? Doesn't it start at the top?
Can you see him turning this around, Melbourne?
Oh, he's had a fair crack at it. I mean, they're not going to sack anyone over a COVID season, but
no.
Next year, I mean, you'd want to see a game plan that. Yeah, they've got the second best or best ruckman in the comp, great on ball division, yet they just don't win games.
Have they got the second best? I'm interested in that. Scott, if you could pick any ruckman right now, and Loz and Mick, to play for your side in the final series, I'm not picking Max Gordon in my best three ruckman.
No, I agree with that.
Him and not Grundy, the way the game's played, I'm talking about.
Yeah, Natanui's number one probably now.
Yeah, no, that's fair call. Natanui this year has been very influential in games and his mobility. I want a player who can give you that fifth contest in the midfield. Fourth contest midfield. So someone who can become a clearance player, like Natanui is so good at. I'd put Rhys Stanley in that category, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, I would. I think his work in that area has been really good this year. Todd Goldstein deserves to be in the mix for sure. He's somewhere in between that style of player, I suppose. But I wouldn't have Max Gorn in that group anymore, and nor would I have Brodie Grundy. So it's been a big shift in just a year, and those two players who are clearly the best two over the past 3 years.
Well, of course, they were both in the All-Australian team last year too, Ando, weren't they? There was much conjecture about which one would be named on the field. Would you have either
last
of them
two
in
years. At no, this point? I wouldn't. No, it would not in a pink fit. Wouldn't consider either of them. I mean,
I'd just pick one, Natanui, and that'd be it.
Yeah, just the way rucking's going, you really need mobile players. St Kilda's got Ryder and Marshall, who both fit that bill. Melbourne, in years to come, will have Luke Jackson. And, you know, they've been unlucky with him being injured because he's such an exciting young player. He wasn't going to do it this year, I accept that. But as a ruckman forward, he's got a lot of upside. I reckon Tom DeConi at Carlton would be that type of player. They're going back to the more the mobile type player. It's really interesting how rucking evolves and how it changes. And Max Gorn isn't that style of player. He's a good footballer. We all know that, but he's not that style of player. So, anyway, we got a game on. Who's playing this Friday night? I was trying to recap before.
I was just about to say.
I can see how nervous you are in your voice, actually, Ando.
When are you going to let these two loose, Lance?
I'm hoping to keep them reined in for a little while longer. This, of course, is our cross-pod rivalry. And what arguably could be, it's not only the best game of this round, but it could well be the grand final preview on Friday night, Richmond and Geelong. That's the game that we're really looking to unpack a little bit later on. We're going to have a look at Port Adelaide and Carlton a little bit later, plus some of your magnificent hub work, Scotty. I know you've got people everywhere, famously, and there's been some magnificent score work by you in recent days. So we'll hit you up about that one a little bit later. But keep your powder dry, Mick and Ando.
Richmond still be in the comp by then, Loz? I mean, they do tend to be
there's four nights between
issues
now and then. Anything could happen.
Of course, it was one of the great self-sabotages, wasn't it, Mick, before we get to the actual game? That happened after our podcast last week, so we haven't had a chance to hit you up about this one. Now, I know a lot of Victorians were saying on their Twitter feed, sort of tongue-in-cheek, that what they would give to be having a 3 a.m. kebab at this point. Of course, we're still under curfew and pretty heavy restrictions, but were you as astounded as the rest of us by that one?
Oh, scrolling through Twitter, 10:33 a.m. on Friday, I was with Matt Kitchen, the editor of Sport, and I said, a courier mail's going. Tigers arrested outside strip club. I think we need to be on to this. And I thought, surely that can't be true. But having been...
And Mick, be honest, all you cared about was what sort of football, what quality of footballers they were. You didn't exactly want it to be.
As long as one wasn't Dean Martin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? Yeah.
But look, you know, I feel sorry for those two blokes, actually. I think about it, there's a club function. They get plied full of grog. And in a group of 45, there's always going to be two who say, hey, what do you reckon?
Only two?
Well, I know, Scotty, you would have been tempted.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm not in a hub quarantine
Yeah, but you don't
facility,
know you're in a hub
Michael.
When you've had 10 beers.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Anyway, boys will be boys.
It clearly shows a cultural issue, Michael. You're getting ahead of yourself. Mick Moldau said.
We'll find out. On Friday night, how deep-seated the cultural issues are.
It hasn't been great, though, Mick. I know, just to be serious for a minute. Sydney's gone back to Adelaide. Callum Coleman-Jones has been booted from the hub as well. But it really just has been one thing after the next for your mob.
Yeah, no, they haven't handled the hub life.
Where's Peggy? Have we heard from Peggy?
Well, do you want
Peggy's gone quiet.
Yeah.
She's just talking to that, what's that TV company that's following her? Amazon?
3 years at the top can go to your head. I think it's clear, isn't it, that they got a bit of ahead of themselves. But that's all right. It's all about what happens on the field.
Look, that's actually really interesting with the premiership betting. Even after the weekend, the Tigers were still favourites. And it all comes down to what's happened in the past 3 years. And you can't trust Geelong because they've been poor in certain finals, but I think that's now even out, and those two clubs are $4.50 each of two for the flag, and then the betting for the game was $1.77 Richmond favourites initially. Geelong 202, and then that's reversed completely.
That's what, yeah. Those we're going to put a new garage on next week, actually, off the back of
okay. Those odds for the game, for the premiership, were wrong because Geelong's just about assured of a top four spot.
They have to win to be assured of that, don't they?
Have to win one of their last two games. They play Sydney in the last round.
I'll tell you what shapes as the great fizzer here is St Kilda West Coast. If St Kilda beat West Coast, this title fight becomes just a bit of a wrestle.
Yeah, but Bulldogs beating West Coast means Geelong only has to win one to finish top four. Okay.
Because of percentage. So who are you playing the last game?
Sydney.
Okay. So you're pretty confident about beating them.
Geelong, I think Geelong at the moment is more confident about beating Richmond than Sydney.
Sydney
matched up pretty well against Geelong.
Let's save it. We'll get to it a little bit later, boys. Of course, the grand final preview. If you can just hold your horses for another couple of minutes, we will get to it. Just very quickly before we move on from Richmond, Mick. I know you're saying boys will be boys, but it is going to go a little bit further than this in that the blatant refusal from the PA that the players will not pay the fine. This could directly result in, I say job loss, it could well be job losses. Now, I've seen it argued by Matthew Lloyd in recent days that maybe the players should be the ones to deliver the news to the staffers who are directly affected by this. That's one thing that doesn't sit well with me in all of this. As they're sort of strolling up and down Orchard Avenue, 3 o'clock in the morning. It would not have even entered their minds.
Players shouldn't have to pay the fine because there wasn't an agreement. It was a club fine. So the club shouldn't have got the players on the grog. So, no, they won't be paying that fine.
Connor McKenna, retirement immediately, sort of into how they're going. It hasn't been an ideal 48 hours for the Bombers either.
Connor McKenna was never going to stay, was he, really? I mean, he wasn't convincing when he came back. And, the guy wants to be home. Well, who can argue with that? I find if someone from interstate wants to come back to their home city, I totally understand that. We saw with a Chris Judd or Dangerfield or any number of players. Irish players over the journey, there's been a few really good ones that have gone home early. I speak of Paul Early, who was the very first Irishman to play a game, which was back in the 1980s. Before Jimmy Stones and Sean White, he only played one game. He looked like being a really, really good player. It was the bug at Carlton more recently. It was a Kieran Byrne.
Kieran Byrne. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he looked like they all thought he was a better player at the same time than Zach Tui. Beautiful kick, Kieran Byrne. He can make the ball talk. So, yeah, when you bring the players over, and they've proven they're good enough, but you have to go that step further and just find out whether they're happy. As Jim Steins was to leave home and come and live in another country, across the world. So it's a big call, but big blow for Essendon. I mean, that's like they've moved, Andy McGrath's got into the midfield. So you had that dash with the three of them with Saad, McKenna, and McGrath, which was a real weapon for them. And next year, they'll just have the one of those players in that position.
So, his statement this morning says, I've made no secret of the fact that at some point I want to be returning home to my family, and I've been weighing up the decision recently. So he did say that to some Irish media when he was over there earlier in the year. He then goes on to say, it's been a difficult year for everyone, but it's also been a chance to take stock and weigh up several things in my life, so the time is right. Scotty, he did the hotel quarantine when he came back here, of course, then came out and was caught up in the knows if it was positive. You'd have to say that's all played into it. It was a hell of a saga.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he was already troubled in his mind in a way and came back, and then that got lumped on him. He was the one who stopped the competition, and then there was conjecture about if it was really a positive. Yeah, I mean, the world is in such an unusual place that Connor and Hub life was never going to really coexist, and Essendon fumbling their way through the end of the season hasn't helped. So, like a lot of players who are suddenly getting surgeries or disappearing, he's made the right call.
I'm more interested in John Worsfold post-game on Essendon saying that no one thought they were a top four team. Now, did they tell Dylan Shiel that when they recruited him? Hey, Dylan, come down here and just sort of waste a couple of years languishing. I'm not sure internally that's correct that they didn't rate themselves. And they are in no man's land, Essendon. I don't know how you get out of there.
But Mick, they're planning about top four, and it's all based around one, the availability of Joe Danaher. We saw the difference he can make in the two games he's played back.
Chris Fagan just said, we're not the Harris Andrews Football Club. We can survive without
them. They are, because they're not going to win a flag now.
He plays full back. He plays key back. Danaher plays key forward. Take Hawkins out of Geelong's side and see where they'd be this year.
So you accept everything you've seen from Essendon because Danaher's been injured?
No.
Not everything. Of course not everything. But even the other day, I want to see Essendon with their best side out on paper. They just never get it for whatever reason.
But everyone's got injuries.
You blokes haven't had too many injuries in your two grand finals. Name them. Name the injuries.
Richmond went over to Port Adelaide last year with basically no one and won because they found a way. Essendon can't blame injuries. They've changed their game plan from their one wood to attack off half back to this system model that's not working. Maybe it's in transition.
Richmond inspired Brett Rutten.
Essendon has gone 16 years without winning a final, 20 years without a flag.
That's a fair
time. And a drug saga in between. They are in health, Essendon. And I don't think Joe Danaher is going to change one iota.
So, Mick, let's read that.
Hang on, he won a game for them two weeks ago.
He won't be there next year. So,
no, that's true.
Do we know that?
Sydney for him, surely.
He wanted to leave.
He didn't sound like that after that game where he won the match.
So you're pretty confident on the Bombers?
I'm more confident about Essendon. I never thought Essendon was going to be a top four side this year. No. Even with Joe Danaher playing. No, I didn't think that. So I agree with Warsaw. Am I more confident about them or Melbourne? I'm more confident about Essendon than Melbourne next year.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Not winning a premiership, Mick, not being top four, but making the finals. If I had to back one of those sides right now, I'd back the Bombers well and truly over the Demons.
If we rename you John Rutten here on the podcast.
John Rutten. Johnny Rutten.
You're at the wheel now of Essendon, as we know Ben has been primarily this season. What is going to be the first thing on your agenda then? What do you, from what you've seen in recent weeks, need to fix first in order for that change to happen next year?
Well, not even fix. The first thing is to ensure that Danaher plays next year. That's obviously number one. That kid who plays in the ruck for them, Sam Draper, I'd love to look at him.
He's got a bit in him. He doesn't mind hurting people.
And I was talking about mobile ruckman. He's a great, he loves a contest, as Scotty just said, but he's also mobile. He's got the size. He's going to be a ripper, that boy. So you can base a side around players like that. You can build a team around Draper and Danaher. Up the other end, Hooker, what I've seen of him recently, he's obviously on the way out. So they've got to develop, but I've got the list in front of me, Loz, to go through it, but I know. Internally, who's that kid who plays up back?
Well, they've found Ridley this year. Like, he's emerged. So they've found one.
No, he's good.
Yep, looks a really good player.
But their midfield doesn't scare you. I mean, Shield, Merritt, I mean, Heppel's not his fault. He's been injured. The midfield doesn't scare you. They might get a lot of possessions, but they don't really hurt you. Devin Smith, these guys don't hurt.
I think when McGrath's going...
Yeah, he's the best, yep.
He changed the game against Hawthorn. He's the keeper. Brandon Zerk Thatcher.
Oh yes, with the tip cap in the front of the fringe.
You're right,
the nasty hair. Yeah, they reckon he can go all right. He's 195 key defender, just a kid. I think look a bit deeper in their list. There's a bit to work with there. I think Ben Rutten. I don't know about Ben Rutten. I've got no idea whether he can coach or not because we haven't seen him fully with his own side, I suppose. But the game style, I take what Mick said, it's actually pretty Herman Goring to watch it at the moment.
It's changed by design, and it might be that it's flushing through, and it could emerge on the other side. But you can understand the frustration of the Essendon supporters, surely.
It'll be better without the charade of Worsfold and Rutten. Listen, I mean, Worsfold's been great. He rode them through the
That was years ago.
Yeah, well, that needed the right person. I'm not saying he's progressed them game style, etc., but he was the right person then.
When has it ever worked having a coach hang around John Worsfold sitting down on boundary line clapping his hands, trying to be as positive as he can, you know, looking like a supporter, I suppose. I remember David Parkin with Wayne Britton. David Parkin with Peter Swab, as Mick just said. You know, Mick Malthouse with Nathan Buckley. Look, it really, really, if ever, works. You know, it's just you got to be your own man, your own boss when you become a footy coach. And you live and die by your own decisions, and that's what Ben Rutten has to do. And I'll be prepared to judge Essendon next year. We're talking about Melbourne. Melbourne side's had their coach for 4 years. He's had the time to stamp his personality on that playing group, and I don't know what that is. And he's talking about being ruthless. Well, in 4 years, make the team ruthless. For goodness sake. I mean, they're a funny club, the Demons. They really are.
They are both funny clubs, unfortunately, Melbourne and Essendon. And as I say, the phone was blowing up over the last couple of nights. So there's a lot of very, very unhappy people, unfortunately, who have been subjected to another year of disappointment. Although crunching the numbers over the last couple of days, there's some very, very slim, the old mathematical chance is being thrown out by a few at this point. Scotty, just a very quick one before we get on to Carlton and Port Adelaide and, of course, the big, what are we calling it, the thriller in Manila between Mick and Ando regarding Friday night's game. But Harris Andrews, you just mentioned then in that discussion about Essendon that you don't think the Lions can win a flag without him.
Oh, no way. I mean, he is that important to their structure. I mean, he's the best defender or best one or two defenders. And, you know, mentally as well, all that sort of stuff that goes into, you lose a player who's that important this close to finals. Like, it's not Alex Rance, you got all season to get it right. He's the glue to the whole dance. So now maybe McStay has to go back. And I just think they were clinging on in a sense, because everything's played on their home ground. They're a good, exciting team, but they were a rung below Richmond, West Coast, Geelong. So they were going to, and Port Adelaide, they were going to have to find something. You can't do that without your best player. I mean, it's just impossible. So,
and Scotty, if you went the best power forwards in the competition, which four teams have them? Richmond, Tom Lynch.
Yes.
West Coast, Josh Kennedy. Port Adelaide, Charlie Dixon.
Bang.
Geelong, Tom
Hawkins. Yeah, so, look, they want to hope it's 4 weeks, not five. They win the first final or the second. I don't know. They're in trouble, Loz. That's my point. Without him, it's nearly impossible.
Can I say, though, that their coach is one of the most outstanding people I've seen in football ever.
No doubt.
I mean, did you see his post-game press conference against Collingwood? But he said, just I want to take the floor, and he thanked the right people, and he's put Brisbane so far back on the map.
Doesn't it? You got David Noble coming out and telling you straight away that Harris Andrews is going to be out for that period of time. You've got a CEO in Greg Swan who's, I think, what's Greg Swan done? 7 years at Collingwood, 7 years at Carlton, and about six years at Brisbane. He's going to have an interest in books, Swanee, when he finishes his time. But they're a really well-run club.
Aren't they? And if Richmond didn't win it, I'd be happy to see Brisbane win it. No one else.
Well, your coach's presses have been going from good to great, Michael.
What do you mean? What's
they're a weekly tune in dimmer.
What's happened now?
No, I don't know. Has he done one this week?
No, I think they would have been very glad to have had the bye.
Hugh Remington jumped back on the line.
They had to. Kebabs. The word trickling out is they actually had to give the hub a new coat of paint before the press conference because he absolutely peeled it off. After Kebab Gate. Well, I think we're just assuming, aren't we, given that he has been known to give a spray or two, Dimmer, over the time. But Carlton, I'm very keen to get your views on Ando. We spoke about them last week about their ability, pretty much unlike any other team, to squander a winning position and waste an opportunity. And, geez, they did it again, unfortunately. We've seen Greg Diesel-Williams, he's spoken today, having a crack at Paddy Dow, telling him to toughen up. They're one in that mathematical chance category. I know there's some very long-winded equations happening in the online space about how the Blues can just sneak in. They need a lot to go their way, but they just really, in order to take the next step, elevate themselves out, they're just stuck in that logjam, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't deserve to be. If you kick their last two second halves, that's four quarters of footy, They've kicked one goal. Well, and I think this year, someone told me the other day, in footy this year, there's been 87 quarters where there's been no goals kicked. Stephen Hawking's talking about how good the ratings were because of a game with Brisbane.
Because we got so many options. I was going to play golf or I was going to watch the footy and I thought, oh, hang on, I can't play golf.
So yeah. just on Carlton, I think they're in. So again, you know, it comes, they've had injuries, haven't they? They've had Charlie Curnow play the year. I remember talking to Greg Williams pre-season and asking about the midfielders who he was working with. And the kid he really liked was Liam Stocker. And obviously we haven't seen Liam Stocker this year. So there's another one who'll come in hopefully next year as a new recruit. They've got enough to work with, Carlton. I mentioned Tom DeCarney before, who I love as a footballer. They've got a kid in playing tonight, Matt Owies, who was a St. Kevin's boy 2015, gave footy away in year nine, concentrated on basketball, played for Australia under 18s, got to the World Championships, went to Hawaii University for a year, then Seattle for 2 years. I'd watched him play as a kid, so I remember ringing Stephen Wells about him and saying, this kid can really, really go as a footballer. And this is year eight or something like that. And Stephen got him down to Geelong for a week. They trialled him and they liked him. But at that stage, he decided to stay with basketball. But ultimately, as good a basketball as he is, Matt, I think he's about 179, 180, and that's not going to cut it ever in the NBA or even in Europe in the really big leagues. So he's come back to footy. He'll play as a small forward. He's got really good running, either both endurance and explosive running. And I think long-term, they're looking at it, but Eddie Betts won't be playing next year, is my understanding of Carlton. So they brought him back for the year, and he's had some good moments. But I think we had this conversation early in the year when he got named one of the best in the game, probably against Geelong, actually, when Carlton won. And the comment then was, wait till you see him over the whole season, because older players only have so many good games left in them, most of them. They get to that stage where they can't play well every week, and the gap between good and worse gets greater. That's where Eddie's at the moment. So watch Matt Owies tonight. He'd be an interesting player.
I'd forgotten that Carlton beat Geelong down there, Ando. It seems like about 5 years ago, doesn't it?
Mick, I thought it would come back to haunt Geelong because they had, remember Gary Ablett had a shot for goal late?
Yeah.
Which he uncharacteristically missed and somebody else did the same thing. But now it's turned out really well because the Jaws favoured Geelong with just Sydney and Richmond to play, so that should make it a fun.
If I was taking a drive to Lawn, the fire warning with Carlton would be on medium. It's not anything really to worry about. But I am interested in that. Is it Zach Williams that they're targeting? You hear the talk. They've got another 800-900 to spend on a player. And I've heard two people say, is that the sort of guy you want to spend the top dollar on? Or do you need a power midfielder to help Cripps rather than
They already pay massive money, don't they, for two players in Jack Martin, who's probably averaging out around, I'm guessing, 700,000-800,000, but he's getting more than that this year in a front-ended contract. And Mitch McGovern, who for the life of me, I watch Mitch McGovern play footy. He does a couple of nice things, gets the ball 8 times in a game, and that's about it. I'm thinking, what is it? There's going to be more.
Come on, Mitch, I think.
Show us a game once, kicked a good goal once.
Did he win a game actually, or did he draw? Did he draw a game?
Yeah.
Against Collingwood, though, so it was pretty much a win.
He got double points, I take your point, Zach Williams. I think what happens, if a bloke comes out of contract and he's a free agent, well, all of a sudden the world's his oyster in terms of money. And we've seen North Melbourne offer massive money to Josh Kelly, Dustin Martin, probably Dylan Shear. Was he in that as well?
Yeah,
flew into Noosa.
Yeah, Carlton, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry, so, it was. Too.
It's not, but the best player in the competition, Dylan Shear, might be. I don't know where Dylan rates. I think he's had a fairly good year. He might be in the top 50 somewhere. Robbo does his top 50 at the end of the year, but he can get more money than that because he comes out of contract. So. It's all about timing, those sort of things. But Williams, I think Williams potentially can add a lot to Carlton, given where he plays. I know they're talking about how he played well in the finals in the midfield, but a bloke coming off half-back with that running ability, which Chris Yaron used to have for them, it's invaluable in today's footy. So, Yeah, I'd have Williams pretty high. He'd be a $700,000-$800,000 player for mine.
What about Port Adelaide, Scotty? They found themselves in the middle of one of the more bizarre off-field stories, I must admit, that I've seen in recent years regarding their BNF from about 8 or 9 years ago. But
is that happens everywhere?
Was that
everyone's saying no.
Well, they came out and said Kane got a bigger bonus for winning it than someone else.
Then Brad Ebert was the one that was going to finish second.
The compere of the night said he saw something. Whispers in the sky style.
One of the more bizarre. Well, and that's saying something. We've had some bizarre stories this year, and that one is just about top five at this point. But more about the team on the field. They're sitting top of the ladder, Scotty, but they're not getting a hell of a lot of love, are they? Are we giving them enough respect, or maybe they're happy to just fly under the radar?
I've got a soft spot for them because I like the way they play, and
I love the drum too, for the record. Yeah, I'm all about the drum.
No, that was good.
Yeah. I think when we saw Geelong sort of dismantle them, when Geelong were on fire that week, they did St Kilda and Port Adelaide. It was like, it's Charlie Dixon or nothing. Their defence got exposed. So they've got holes, but on the flip side, they've got a lot of young talent. They've got leg speed. If they get them going, and they're going to be playing at home, they're going to have at least two finals in the Adelaide Oval. They can get on a roll and beat anyone. So I know why the pure experts are looking at the system of Geelong and the system of West Coast, and Richmond's obviously got the runs on the board, but I wouldn't want to be playing Port at a vocal Adelaide Oval.
No, but what it is, Lauren, is you earn that respect in the finals, and Port Adelaide so many times have gone deep into a home and away and flopped in the finals, apart from that one year where they almost upset Hawthorn in the prelim. And that's why people have got a question mark, because they want to see it. A bit like Brisbane, who had a great year last year but failed in the finals. So
straight sets.
That's why there's a question mark.
Well, we will see it in the finals in coming weeks. Of course, Tyson Goldsack, the man in charge of that now famous drum, he'll be having that in his overhead locker. You'd imagine they'll be taking that everywhere with them from now. But we've mentioned it all throughout the podcast, the grand final preview.
Of course,
Richmond and Geelong. It is time, Scotty. Strap yourself in.
All right. I've got my scorecard ready.
I think the best strategy here might be we're seeing election season ramp up over in the US. Of course, the Republicans versus the Democrats. Maybe we start, I believe, and this is off the top of my head, that Richmond is the home.
Which one's Trump? Who do you reckon is Trump?
He's the most right-wing out of Nick and I. Let it be known, Mick is wearing a cap with a red peak on it right this second.
Of course,
so,
Mick's Donald Warner.
I think Richmond is the home team. Correct me if I'm wrong. So maybe we give.
Who knows?
Mick can have the podium first. Give us your who will win and why for both of your teams.
Well, like I said, the rider is St Kilda West Coast on Thursday night, because if St Kilda win, this game of the year will become an absolute fizzer. Both teams guaranteed top four. Tom Hawkins is clearly the worry. I'm interested they rushed Dylan Grimes back in after a hamstring. That concerns me. If St Kilda win, I don't reckon Grimes will play. Shai Bolton being in the injured group concerns me. And Richmond's inside 50 connection has been bad all year. That worries me. If they get, they will dominate early Richmond. They have to get the score on the board. Yes, I am nervous. But this is
not the salient to me, Michael.
But you're always nervous. That's why we love the game.
I'm not going to vote for you on this performance. Give me something else.
I don't care who you vote for. So good luck, Ando. You haven't beaten Richmond, even though you don't rate them for a very long time.
Why do you say I don't rate them?
No, the club doesn't rate Richmond.
The players do. Their coach said that. The coach said something he shouldn't have said, where he said...
He said it multiple times.
Yeah, I don't know where he's coming from with that. I thought they were poorly chosen words, actually. You've got to pay respect to a side that's been as good as Richmond's been over the past 3 years. I've got to... had a dream, Mick, the other night.
No.
And it goes along like this, that you play Geelong and you lose on Friday night rather badly, actually. It's 38 points, so that's not great. Then you drop down to fifth and you play Collingwood in the first final. And Mason Cox kicks three goals and takes 11 contested marks and you go straight out of the finals. It couldn't happen, I know, but it's just a possibility. But I think if you looked at the two form of these sides over the year, and I'm not a great one for that. I think it's all about now and what happens the next few weeks. Geelong's probably been slightly the better side. Do you agree with that, Mick, over the year?
Yeah, yes.
Probably slightly the better side. I think Geelong's...
more consistent the last part of the year.
Yeah, Geelong's defensive setup is what it really stamps them probably above most other sides. And
well, I had a dream as well, and unfortunately Tommy Hawkins got suspended in the prelim again after Richmond went out and Brisbane won the flag. So
do you reckon Tom doesn't owe Geelong?
He's playing like a man who does. And a selection
He's playing well. He's the number one player in the game just about right now.
I would say that. I think in terms of where he plays right now, he's probably the number one player in the game. Yeah, I agree with it.
Selection time, Ando. I mean, they're going to have to make some calls in the next couple of weeks. I mean, Zach Tui's got to come back. Now, I'm interested, Gary Ablett will come back, but can Gary Ablett and Jack Stephen play in that team together?
Don't think so, sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
So Selwood comes in, given if he's fit.
Stanley come back in?
I don't know, Nick. We keep hearing that he's going to be playing. We heard that 3 weeks ago. So
there's a hope not.
So Stanley comes in for Josh Jenkins. Josh is not a ruckman. We saw that against Draper on the weekend. Ablett comes in for one of the small forwards. Now, that's
a bit Tom unlucky, just quite.
Well, Tom Atkins would be really unlucky because he's played so much footy and he just gives everything. But the other bloke I think might be a better footballer, Brad Close.
Close does some nice stuff.
Yeah, he's really clean, isn't he? He's a bit quicker. I think Close might stay in. Selwood comes in for Lachlan Fogarty, who again he's going to be a very good player, Lachlan Fogarty, but he'd be unlucky. Who do you have? Zach Tui. Then it comes down to Jack Stephen. I'm not sure where Jack Stephen how he gets into the side.
He can't play with Ablett. They can't play both of them.
I agree with that. It's a fair call. Because Geelong, it's not a sexy, you know, have Stephen comes in, he's a four-time best and fairest winner, all Australian, Ablett, whatever he's done. It's pretty sexy having those names come into the side. But ultimately, footy today, it's about having Castagna and Rioli and that forward pressure is so vital, and with Dalhouse, Atkins and Close, they really have that's changed long. It's kept, and Geelong's a better side when they don't play the second tall. So when they don't play Radigalea.
You've analysed this, Ando. You've really given this a lot of thought, this game.
They're going to win the flag, Michael. You've got to get prepared.
I know. Well, the wild card's Gary Rowan, isn't he?
He's been outstanding.
He's injured, isn't he?
Well, he's saying he's playing. He's ready to go. He had the scans yesterday and it's all fine. So he's hoping to play.
Yeah.
Well, I think Grimes will put him to sleep.
If Gary Rowan's... Has Grimes suddenly developed some wheels? Has he? I think he's going to keep Gary Rowan.
He can play any. He can take... Well, come on, please. Grimes versus Rowan.
It depends who plays on Hawkins and Mick Boulder.
As I said, I'm worried about that matchup. There isn't a defender in the game who can stop him at the moment.
I love Boulder for his potential as a running defender,
but
athletic
too
defender.
Raw to play on Tommy.
But he's better further out from goal, surely. Yeah. I wouldn't want him dragged back to the goal square. He's going to get lost.
Who would play on him?
I actually don't know. You tell me. You better for the side. So.
Well, Asprey's out.
It would have to be Bolter, wouldn't it, in terms of, as you say, like no player in the comp's going to beat Hawkins, but it's more just about trying to, you know, limit him to two. Or
you put two on him, basically.
No, they have an island, though, now, Geelong. No one gets near Tom. They have an island.
Yeah, I like that. Was it Montagna, Tom's Island or something? It was a very good
Kingy,
one.
Someone came up with it.
And it works better when it's Rowan as the next tour.
Correct.
Because he moves so well. So, it's a really good game to look forward to.
They're going
to
call it Starvation Island after.
In boxing, they say styles make fights. So Muhammad Ali v. Joe Frazier, you're always going to get a great fight because of their respective styles. I don't think Richmond Geelong necessarily lends itself to a great game to watch because Geelong will try and stifle it up back.
Yeah.
unlike Port Adelaide. The Port Adelaide Richmond game is the best game I've seen this year by a fair way. But both sides just attacked. That was a brilliant shootout. I don't think this game will be like that, unfortunately.
Well, Scotty, you've heard both sides of the argument now. Your Herald Sun tipping is ticking along pretty nicely at this point.
I've had a couple of setbacks on that.
Scotty's a Geelong man. You need to be the judge.
No, no. Scotty, I think it's a bit of a fizzer. I think Michael was on the back foot from the start and was very disappointing. He's normally, I'd say, he choked on a kebab when he was trying to get his points across.
on a mixed special.
So I'll have to hand it to Ando, and he didn't really have to do too much.
No.
Just a little bit of picking and poking.
I hate to say it, Mick. I'm sorry. I've got to agree. I'll be tipping the Cats on Friday night. But for the sake of my household, I will be hoping for a Richmond win, because it makes for a very grumpy weekend around these parts in isolation if the Tigers lose. Now, Scotty, the keeping up with the Hubs. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's been keeping you very, very busy. There's a lot of reality TV shows getting watched on the old Netflix and Stan and Binge and all the rest of it while we're on. So you could just about write one based on what is going on in Queensland. Fill us in on what's been happening over the last week, because it's been eventful as always.
Well, Gil, our man Gil, who, fair to say, had a rough week last week after he got into the Hub, the Toyota Terminator, and So when the kebab incident happened on Saturday, my understanding is he was strolling around and it was a nice 30-degree day on the Gold Coast, and there were bodies everywhere around the pool. The bar was 5 o'clock drinks was heavily, I don't want to say media types, but there was football types. Yeah. He wasn't happy. You know, Grumpy Gil, they have a meeting of Hubs. Everyone's got a group, so each team has a representative.
Who's the captain of the media team, do we know?
Jay Allen has got the unfortunate job of being in control of them. So each club has, you know, so if there's a wag who wants, you know, a dog or something, the request has to go through their team hub person.
Yep.
So they are all meeting on the deck because, you know, there's this nice deck. It's very nicely. And Gil doesn't normally attend such briefings, but he strode in with purpose and went, right, this, and blew up. I don't know about threatening to send people home, but he just wanted to. The Queensland government, it's part of the deal. They have to social distance. Now, they don't, in Queensland, you don't have to, but it's part of the AFL getting this deal over the line. So in the hub, you're supposed to be a metre and a half apart. And there was bodies on bodies everywhere in pools, hundreds of
and
people.
And
the chopper
going up over the pool on, I think that was Friday, wasn't it? That definitely didn't go down well.
Yeah, but what about your mate Tom Brown having a sook about the drone going up, saying, oh, how disgusting, network, you know, these poor AFL people in quarantine, and Tom saying that, you know, it's an invasion of their privacy. Tom, seriously, mate, have a think about what you do for a living. Now, this is a PR nightmare for the AFL, Scotty. And the Premier. To have these 400 people, I love that footage around the pool, because that's what they're doing.
But to be fair, they've got nothing else to do.
Well, so you're allowed to, I suppose.
Yeah. So
well, I worked outside yesterday. It was 24 degrees in Melbourne. I moved the home office outside. If I was up there, I'd do exactly the same thing.
You would. It's been described, though, as the politics of envy, people having a go. I think it's more the politics of entitlement.
So what happened was, so then text messages, everyone got a text message, they're all in a group saying, righto, only 80 people around that pool, the media bar, or
only 80.
Take a ticket.
Yeah, and you got to let others in, and there's only 20 in the water, and it's all this sort of stuff. Then the bar had a couple of couches, they suddenly got roped off so people couldn't linger in that area. Oh, it's very funny.
So $8 Carlton draft schooners. I was interested in that detail, that level of detail.
Well, that's what I do at the score. I like to get to the bottom of the important issues. So only two drinks at a time. So you got 3 hours of power, which I think we all could do enough damage in that time. But Grumpy Gil, not happy. Not happy with the world.
Not happy.
Imagine being at the bar there and sidling up alongside P. Keane.
I just wouldn't want to be the one breaking it to the what seems like 180 kids that are
wouldn't
in the hub.
Pay me
sorry
a million
guys
dollars only, to be in that hub.
only 20 of you are allowed to be doing bombs in the pool at any one time.
That's the au pair's job and the grandparents who are there looking after them, of course.
Dude, that's raised a few eyebrows, hasn't it, over the last couple of days? The attendance list is slowly getting dripped out, isn't it?
The same au pair as a couple of years ago?
I believe there's only one, the foreign exchange one, yes.
Well, it could spell the end of the quarantine hub, unfortunately. Like, looks like the likes of Steel Sidebottom, if he's going to make his way up there and potentially other media for the grand final and anyone else that wants to make their way up, I would imagine the hard hotel quarantine is probably shortening in odds at this point because, as you say, Mick, the optics probably don't go to their favour.
And there was a girlfriend up there, was there? So that's
I believe a media type may have got his better half snuck on the golden ticket plane.
Yes, a revelation from you as part of the Whisper on this very podcast last week. Scotty, we know you're going to be all talking. It did. It always does, the Whisper. It sends text messages flying each and every day. And you always bring one for us at the Herald Sun Footy podcast. Take us out with a Whisper this week.
Well, I might as well keep it in hub life because it's such a fertile area. I believe a club sort of, not official, I won't say a player, but at 8:01 or 7:59 when the bar was ready to close, may have helped away from the situation by a key member of the football department as well. So,
hang on, Harry?
No, just sort of, I'll help you into the lift, son. Off you go. Just Harry, a young man. Anyway, a young, well-known man. That's all. I'm getting myself in trouble here, Loz. I'm trying to protect.
Wow. Well, for your sake, Scotty, we'll wrap it up.
I'm doing my sums on if I can say what I can. I don't probably can't.
But sorry, just to clarify. So you're saying someone
at the 3 hours of power.
Just the 3 hour session had to be assisted to their room.
Yes, to the lift to say enough's enough, No Sydney Stack style action now. You go straight up there at 8:00.
That'll do us for this week on the Herald Sun Footy podcast. We'll be back same time, same place next week, of course, across all of the footy news on and off the field in the Herald Sun every day and at heraldsun.com.au. Best of luck to both of you boys on Friday night. I expect the text messages to be flying. Both of you go well and may the best man win.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.